looks like I got the duties of leading singing this morning, too. Before we go this morning, we're going to be at 249? 249. We're going to be singing page 249. But before we get going, let's just open up the Lord in a word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for allowing all of us to be here together. God, thank you for letting me have safe travel and Lord, going and coming. But Lord, right now we invite you to be in our midst. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you be in this place. Lord, we need you today. Need you as much as we've ever needed you. And God, I just pray right now you forgive me of my sins, my failures, my faults. Heavenly Father, Lord, knowing that I'm not adequate to the job at hand, but Lord, your Spirit is here and you said, open your mouth and I will fill it. So Lord, today I just ask you to be in our midst. Lift up, Holy Spirit, lift up Jesus and let's make much of him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, let me find a book. Page 249. Let's all stand. I have no idea what 249 is either. But I said I'm going to try to lead it. So let's see. Maybe I'll know it. Oh, that's a good one, sister. Good job. Page 249, glorify thy name.
To Thomas Village is for a worship service this morning, and all those on Facebook watching as well. Just a couple of announcements. We will continue to have Sunday morning service at 11 a.m. until otherwise notified. So I know we had a few show up this morning at 10. Any announcements or any changes will be posted on Facebook, or you'll receive an email about it if you're on our email list. And if you're not, please come see me or one of the other deacons and leave us an email address, and we'll make sure to get you on that list so you can be notified accordingly. And then tonight, again, we'll be doing services at 6. It'll be online, so you'll be able to watch on Facebook. And then Wednesday evening for midweek worship service, we'll be still doing that at 6 o'clock.
Correct.
Here. Well, I was going to say in here. So, again, we want to welcome everyone into sanctuary and those, again, watching on Facebook, and want to welcome those that are listening outside in the parking lot. And, again, just those that want to come and worship with us, we give you a lot of options. If you do come into the sanctuary, we are requiring you to wear a mask at this time. We do have the fellowship hall open. To those that cannot wear a mask for whatever reason, for health reasons, we have that available if you want to come inside as well. And again, you can listen out in the parking lot, tune into channel 88.1, and you'll be able to hear their service as well. And again, we've got a lot of options here, so that's, you know, just praise the Lord for being able to let us do that. Yes, Tammy. 5 o'clock. Thank you.
We had a good turnout last Sunday night at 5 o'clock. We did an outdoor walk. So God be glorified in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as a reminder, thank you, Tammy, Zoom, Awana meetings. So you can participate in that. And if you have any questions, you can reach out through Facebook, or you can call Sister Tammy or Wayne, and they'll get you the information you need to tie into those meetings. So we're thankful that the Lord's blessed us with such technology that we can do all this. You know, again, we've come a long way since March, from meeting in here to people listening from all over the country and all over the world, I'm sure. And then we also have one other option. If you're not able to make any of those times, or you're not able to be here, you can still go on to the website and you can listen to the sermons anytime you want, or play catch up. So we've got a lot of options, and we're thankful for that. Again, also too, this has been challenging times, but October, which was yesterday, was Pastor Appreciation Month. So again, we'll have the basket out there if you want to leave a card for Pastor Brian and his family. And also too, just on behalf of the church here, I wanted to give you this as well. We are very appreciative of Pastor Brian.
Will you spray it with Lysol?
I will spray it with Lysol. I can do that. I can do that. I'm pretty sure that I've absorbed so much hand sanitizer over the last few months that I'm probably a little ahead for the year. But we do appreciate you, Brother Brian, and we appreciate his family too. I tell you what, we're very blessed to have a pastor that when all this hit, that he wanted to have extra devotional time. He wanted to be able to come and preach. And again, we thank God that we have been blessed with the technology to do that, and we're just thankful that, you know, to be honest with you, Brian's been, he's just as busy as he was before all this started, for those of you that don't know. So we're very blessed to have a pastor that wants to continue to preach the Word of God and let it go out into the world. And I think we can all look around today and find that the world's in need of the gospel more than ever.
Amen.
Just remember, again, all these changes, and anything that's posted, any changes on times will be put on Facebook. And I'm not on Facebook, so I'll give you those that are not on Facebook. I'm one of the few that probably isn't in the world. But you can just Google Thomas Village Baptist Church Facebook, and you can read through any of the changes on there, too. So I'm trying to stay anonymous as possible in this world. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to bless our services this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we can be here this morning. We do thank You, Lord, that we can come here and hear Your Word, and we can still hear Your Word preached, and we're thankful for that. And we thank You for bringing Brother Brian back safely, and we just ask You to touch him this morning as he brings Your Word. And, Lord, we know that we've got many within our church family that are dealing with those that have lost loved ones, Lord, or that are sick. And we just ask You, Lord, to be with each one of those families in each situation. And most importantly, Lord, we do pray that as Brian preaches and brings Your Word this morning, that if there's someone here this morning in the building, or if there's someone listening online that don't know You as their personal Savior, that this morning would be the time that they would come to that realization. They would just ask for repentance, or repent of their sins, Lord, and seek You as their Savior. And we just ask that that be the most important thing that is brought out here this morning. And again, we just thank You most of all for all that You do for us, Lord. And we just ask as we go into this week, we have elections, Lord, and we just ask You to bless those, that You would give us guidance on who You would have us to vote for as leaders. And we just ask, Lord, that You bring a great peace and an understanding to our nation, Lord, and that You would just hold back anything that as far as riots and that type of thing, Lord, or those that want to create mischief, Lord, we just ask You to hold them back. And that You would just bless our nation, Lord. And we just, again, thank You for the opportunity as a nation to continue to vote and be able to elect our leaders. And we ask You to help us to not take that privilege for granted. And in Jesus' name and for His sake, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. And I do want to say thank you to the church for the card. And also, a lot of you have shown your appreciation, and I'm thankful for it. I've tried to say thank you through some text and different things like that. I hope to get to every one of you. But I want you to know that I appreciate being your pastor. I'm thankful for being here. It's good to be at other churches. As you turn in your songbook to 161, I enjoyed being in South Georgia, except it was still 80 degrees down there, my goodness. And I had to walk across a peanut field. And I was sweating. I thought I was going to pass out by the time I walked over. I told them I'd done got used to cool weather. But I do ask you to be in prayer for me this morning. I'm dealing with some vertigo symptoms. Got ready to come back Friday morning and got about an hour from the house and thought I was going to pass out. So I turned around and went back home. That was the answer to my mama's prayers. But still dealing with some dizziness and issues there. So I feel very weak and unprepared this morning. But what they say, in our weakness, he is made strong. So also, I want to say thank you to everybody that was supposed to fill in for me and those that did fill in for me. I found out Brother Gary was teaching Wednesday night about 30 minutes before church started. I text Brother Otis, and Brother Otis said that something had come up, and Brother Gary did a good job. And about the same thing, I'm thankful for Brother Adam, but he had sickness come into his house. And Brother Wayne, and praise God, he didn't get sick. He was able to be here and fill in. But I'm thankful to all of you today. So we've glorified his name, and now we're going to crown him with many crowns. If you would, stand with me. We'll sing all four verses. If you can, stand. And if you can't, we understand. All righty. Didn't say that. You may be seated. That's why I just let y'all have it. All right, let me. You got another one?
No.
Okay.
I'm just getting ready.
All righty. Do we have any words of testimony? This morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. But do we have any words of testimony and praise this morning? Amen. Amen. I tell you, every day is a blessed day that God gives us. This morning we've been in full. Well, yesterday, we want to pray for the Mark Daniels family. This is Sister Melissa's uncle, Brother Frank's kin people. Want to lift him up. Also, James Matlock family, his wife Hannah, he passed away. We want to lift them up and pray for them. Both of them have? Okay, I didn't realize that. Both of them passed away. Okay, we want to remember Hannah was her name, I believe. Hannah, we want to pray for them. Also, I ask you to remember my family, Chet Allen, and my aunt Kathy, as you're turning to Romans chapter 13. He's been in the hospital for 30 days with COVID, and the doctors are saying there's not much hope, but to God be the glory, the great physician is in control. And nothing's over till he says it's over. Amen. And Chet knows the Lord, and he's told him he's ready to go. But we want to remember him. And then also, we want to continue to lift up Sister Pansy. Texted with her this morning, and she said, doing better, and it could be worse. So, amen. But Romans 13, but ain't it good to know? Sometimes we forget, but no matter where you're at in life right now, probably there is someone that would willingly trade places with you. That would willingly trade places with you. That even though your life may not be where you would like it or it's not a comfortable situation, someone else is in a worse predicament. Especially as Americans. Even the poorest of Americans, it's been proven, are richer than 90% of the rest of the people. So to God be the glory with that. Any other words of praise or testimony? If I ever say I'm going to do four marriages in a month, somebody knock me in the head, all right? Knock me in the head. Tie me up, do whatever. Nah, it was good. Tyler and Meg's wedding was beautiful. Had a wonderful time with them. Plus, it got me an hour closer to my destination last Saturday, so it just worked out good, but praise the Lord for that. And then last month was a tough month. Been a lot of deaths that's tied with our church. But as we studied, I believe it was a few weeks ago, that as believers, death is not the end. And actually, it's not the worst thing that can happen to us, because it is a doorway into our best and our most blessed life. Amen. Isn't that good to know? Now, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'll think of death and that fear comes over me. It does. But then the Spirit of Christ moves in and lifts us up, lifts me up as well. Anything else before we go on this morning? I know these masks are uncomfortable, but I appreciate you wearing them. We are seeing a spike in our area. I believe that we're probably about 2 to 3 months behind the rest of the country. Looking at things and the way things are, I think we're about 2 to 3 months behind the rest of the country. But we're going to get through this, and we're going to be back functioning properly in everything that we need to do. We just got to ride out this storm. But it's just a season. Amen. And so we are going to ask you, if you would, to stand with us this morning in the honor of God's word. Romans chapter 13. And to those of you that are watching by Facebook, we want to tell you it's good to be with you today. So thankful that you're allowing us to be a part of your worship. We do ask you, if you would, to share. Matter of fact, even right now, those of you that's in here maybe, and those of you that's in the cars, good to be with y'all today. Just share it so that others may hear the gospel today. And I believe that this sermon today is one that a lot of people need to hear, not because I've preached it, but I believe it's a word of God, okay? So let's begin reading in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come to you today thanking you again that you've just brought us full circle from our trip this week. God, I know that there are those that are hurting, Lord, as I consider the Matlock family, Lord. I just know that it has to be difficult, that family, losing two loved ones. And God, there's others as we think of the Daniel's family and Mr. Mark, God, and we think of Aunt Kathy and Uncle Jet, God. But Lord, there are those of us that have been very blessed, and in the midst of that, we give you praise. Lord, you said we're to praise you in all things. And so, Lord, we do praise you. And again, Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit, I invite you, Holy Spirit, and say that you are welcome here, Holy Spirit, and that we need you. Again, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I pray that you use this for your glory as it goes out over the airwaves, as it goes out through the internet, God, and even for us that are in here today. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I'm going to reread this, and I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard. But if your Bible has it broke down into sections, am I on, Brother Rick? Do I make sure I push my button?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. If your Bible has it broke down into paragraphs and sections, this section is probably entitled something like this: The Christian's Duty to the State, or the Christian's role in government, or something like that. It says, let everyone submit to the governing authority, since there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are instituted or ordained by God. So then the one who resists the authority is opposing God's command, and those who oppose it will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have its approval. For it is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. It does not carry the sword in vain. An avenger that brings wrath on the ones who do wrong. Therefore, you must submit, not only because of wrath, but also because of your conscience. And for this reason, you pay your taxes, since authorities are God's servants, continually attending to these tasks. Pay your obligations to everyone, taxes to those you owe taxes, tolls to those you owe tolls, respect to those you owe respect, and honor to those we owe honor. Now, may God add the blessings to this scripture. But look there in verse 6, it says, for this reason you pay your taxes, since the authorities are God's servants. Now, could you picture Nancy Pelosi as being God's servant? Bible says so, though, don't it? That's what Scripture says, not Brian. The Scripture. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but I think something important is coming up this Tuesday. And that is the election. My gosh, I am so tired. I am so tired. Two things. The Medicare commercials. Every other commercial is a Medicare, Medicaid commercial. And then commercials on Trump and Biden. Well, there's two subjects that we're told not to talk about. Three if you listen to Sammy Kershaw. Politics, religion, and her. Well, this morning I'm not going to talk about her, but I'm going to talk about politics and religion. And not only am I going to talk about them, I'm going to bring them together. The New Testament, while not overly abundant in it, does speak about the role of government. It also speaks about believers' part in relationship to the government. If you look here in Romans chapter 13, we'll briefly break down what it says. It says, one thing, that governments are appointed by God. You see that in verse 1. And then it also says that God appointed governments for our good. There in verse 4. It goes on to tell us that if we oppose government, then we are not only in rebellion to the government, but we're also in rebellion against God because it is appointed by God. As Christians, we are to do what is right. Being in agreement with government, being following the laws and listening to our leaders. Not only because of the government, because it is the government, but because God said that we're to do what's right. And it's for our conscience' sake, so that we will know that we've done the right thing. No matter what happens, we'll know that we've done the right thing. Therefore, we are to pay taxes, we're to obey our laws, we're to respect and honor the positions that are within our government. But there are two phrases in this passage that I want us to kindly think about a little bit, and I'm going to bring it all back around at the end. But the first one is this one. In verse 3, it says, "Do what is good, and you will have its approval," or you'll have praise of the same. And then in verse 7, it says, "Render therefore to all their dues, or pay your obligations to everyone." Now again, we got to recognize that there are three institutions that without a doubt God has established. The first one is family. We see that after the relationship between God and man, the most important relationship is that between a husband and wife and parents and children. And then we see what's the next one. The next one is government. God appointed. Now we know there's monarchies, there's democratic republics, which we are. Then there's socialism, all these different type things. But God has appointed government. And then the last one, the last institution that God has established is the church. So God established, God ordained the family, He established and ordained the government, and He established and ordained the church. Now, in other places, like I said, it's not an overabundance of issues dealing with the government, but the Bible teaches about it. And it says this over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Submit to every human authority because of the Lord, whether to emperor as supreme authority or to governors as those sent out by Him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those what is good." Again, here we see believers, we are to be submissive to the government. And notice what he said, whether it be to king, meaning the highest head, or the governor, which means the local, the kind of the local government. And that we're to recognize that they're a tool or a hand of God. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, again, we see the issue of government. It says, "First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everybody." Now, we know that verse, but lots of times we forget the next one. It says, "For kings and all those who are in authority." Now again, he's not talking about those in church positions. He's talking about our government leaders, that we're to pray, we're to give thanksgiving for them, we're to make intercessions for them, for kings and for all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all goodness and in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth of God. So we see that government's appointed by God. To rebel against that government is to rebel against God. As Christians, we're to follow that law for His sake and for our own consciousness' sake. We're to pay our taxes. But I want you to notice what he said there in 1 Timothy. He said, "Pray for them. Pray for them and lift them up." And how does that end? And this is one of our verses we claim for on our Tuesday morning prayer meeting, that it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I want you to notice the context in which He is using that. He is using that in the context of our leadership. He's using that in the context, what we would say our president and our senators, that we're to pray for them and we're to pray for their salvation. We're to pray that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we understand and while we recognize that God, there is no authority but the authority that God has given, and that He has established this government and that they have a special role, and we ought to be thankful for our government. Especially as American, as living in a democratic republic, we need to be thankful that we have the right to vote and to go out. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be The Vote 2020. The Vote 2020. We need to be thankful for that. But we've also got to recognize something else. And before you cut me off in what I'm going to say, I just listen to what I'm going to say right here. While God has established and appointed these governments and these leadership, there is another thing that Scripture makes clear. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." Now, yes, this is talking about the fallen angels and those that are under the control of Satan, but yet it also is talking about human authority governments. He is saying right here that within the natural realm, in the governments that have been established on this earth, that Satan is at work. And that he has a stronghold, that he has a foothold in it. Now, again, I'm not talking about some conspiracy theory here. I'm not talking about shadow governments. But I'm just telling you, it is clear. It is clear. Now, when you hear rulers, here in Ephesians where it says, against the authorities, against the powers, against rulers of darkness in high places, the word rulers mean the top. The head, where it begins, it's talking about the most powerful authorities in the land, meaning our president, our vice president, our Congress. You go to prime ministers or kings or whatever. What we see here is that there is a dark hand at work in the government. There's a dark hand moving and going. It also says authorities. This means those that are in places of control, those that are in places of leadership, that the enemy, he has his minions or whatever they are, that they're pulling strings and they're doing things and they're working, not to glorify God, to glorify Satan, and to take his government and have it implemented. And then it says, world powers, even today, we call, what do we call? What do we call America? Russia and Great Britain. We call them the world superpowers, don't we? We call them superpowers. That's what he's talking about right there. He's saying that in the midst of that, and I know, and it's clear throughout all of Scripture, whether you want to listen to me anymore or whether you want to hear this, if you look in Scripture and even if you look at history, it is clear that while God has established governments, and while He has allowed governments and He's put them there for our good and His glory, it is clear that Satan has been at work from the first government. And I'm going to tell you something else. He'll be at work till the last government. Can I tell you this? When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to be the most polished, the most well-spoken, the best-looking politician that there's ever been. He's going to... Hey, there's not going to be one president. You think Kennedy could speak well. You think Obama could speak well. You wait until the Antichrist gets on the scene. And the Bible says that we're going to be turned over to strong delusions. Or those that remain. Praise God. Can I remind you again? Rapture could happen any day. And we're not waiting on nothing. At any moment, He could come back. We see it in the globe. Listen. Pharaoh. Now, the Bible says that God turned Pharaoh's heart. But you know what? He did it by allowing Satan to have his way with Pharaoh. What about the kings of Israel and Judah? Israel never had a good king. Israel's first king was so jealous that he wanted to be king, he established a whole new religion and forbid his people to go back to the regular temple. Remember when Jesus was born? What did Caesar do? He had all the children below a certain age put to death. All the male children below a certain age. That's demonic. That's of the devil. Now, who was it that had John the Baptist's head cut off? Herod. Nero and the Great Persecution. Hitler. World War II. Saddam Hussein. They are wicked and evil people under the influence of demonic forces. We see it all over the globe right now. Specifically in America right now. There's a cloud over us and it seems to be growing darker and darker every day. I tell you what, I'm worried right now. I'm worried that whoever gets elected, that people's going to want to ride and they're going to want to do this and they're going to want to do that. I was coming back yesterday. I was talking to a man at the gas pump. And he was a believer. And he was telling me, I told him where I was from. And he said, well, we're going over to so-and-so in Kentucky. I said, well, if something happens this election, there might be riots. He said, do you think where I'm going in Kentucky will be like that? I said, no, I don't think like that. I don't believe it. And you're saying, I've even got family members say, oh, you're just paranoid, preacher. You're just crazy. You're just crazy. But the Bible makes it clear. You remember at the start of Christ's ministry, what did He do? You remember He went out into the wilderness for how many days? 40 days. And if you recall, this is in Matthew chapter 4. You can read it between verses 1 through 11. If you recall, Jesus was there. And after so many days, Jesus got hungry. Remember? And who showed up? Satan. You remember what he said? He says, if you be the Christ, won't you turn one of these stones into bread and eat that bread? And Satan said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But y'all know how the devil attacks. He don't just bring one attack and then walk away. Satan came back again. You remember what he did then? He carried him to the highest temple, the highest peak of the temple. And he said, if you be the Messiah, throw yourself, jump off this thing. You know the Bible says, and he quoted Scripture, he said, the Bible says that 10,000 angels have come to your rescue. What did Christ say? He said, get thee behind me. And then do you remember what the last one was? He took him up to a high mountaintop. And listen, and what he wanted him to do, he told Jesus, he said, Jesus, why don't you just bow down and worship and honor me? And you remember what he said he'd give him? Listen, Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, this is what he said. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him what? All the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor. And he said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Now, a kingdom are areas ruled and governed by kings. It's a monarchy. It's a type of government. How, unless Satan had some pull, unless he had control, how could Satan offer to give Christ all the kingdoms, all the governments in the world? Because for a season, God has allowed him to manipulate and pull strings within the government. Oh, Brian, you're crazy. No, I ain't. I might be, but not when it comes to this. Listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In their case, the God of this age has blinded their minds. The God of what? This age. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ Jesus, who is the image of God. And then we would do well to listen to the very words of Jesus Himself. John chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. Jesus responded, this voice came not from me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. The ruler, the governor, the authority of this world. John 14, 30. I will not talk with you much longer because the ruler of the world is coming and he has no power over me. John 16, 11. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. You understand? Do you hear what he's saying? It's not paranoia. It's not crazy. But you look at our world and look the way it's going and then look at Scripture and it makes sense. The devil. Time. I listen to these old radio programs. And one of them is called, It Is Closer Than You Think. And as we see and we get closer to the rapture and to the return of Christ, we're going to witness how Satan's hands and Satan's work is being done. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world at this moment is looking for somebody to step up and say, I'll solve your problems. We're primed for it right now. We're ready for it right now. So while the government and the authorities of this world have been appointed by God and they have been given to us for good, God, in His complete wisdom and sovereignty, has allowed Satan to have power and pull within the governments of this world. So, as we think about Tuesday, as we think about November 3rd, 2020, what is the future of America? What is the outlook of America Thursday? And I'm going to do my best. I'm not going to mention a candidate's name this morning. But Thursday, I was watching TV. I was watching the news. And one of the candidates was somewhere giving a speech. And to be honest with you, I wasn't listening to him. I done heard enough of it. But behind that candidate, there was a big sign. And it said this: for the soul of our nation. And I believe that. I believe right now that there has never been a more crucial election or vote than the election that we're coming up to right now. And I know that many of you may have already voted, but not everybody has. And Facebook, again, I ask you to share this, not because it's me, but because we need to hear this. We need to hear this. As your pastor, as your friend, and as your fellow American, I have no authority or right to tell you how or who to vote for this morning. It is your God-given right and your duty. But at the same time, as your pastor and in obedience to God, it is my duty to show you not my opinion, but what Scripture says and what it means to vote biblically. To vote based on Scripture. Like Paul over in Acts chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. Therefore I testify to you this day, I am innocent of everyone's blood, for I did not shrink back from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God's Word. So when you go in that voting booth and you vote whatever, it's going to be between you and God. You know that you're going to be judged for your vote. You'll stand before, and not just this vote, but for every vote. Listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, the judgment seat, so that each one may be repaid for what he or she has done in the body, whether it be good or worthless. I love the Christian standard. It just puts it blunt, don't it? So this morning I want us to quickly, I'm going to look at some issues real quick, but then I want you to, I'm going to talk about how do we know who to vote for? How do we know who to vote for? Most people, when they go in the ballot, when they go in the voter's box, I'd say that the main thing that most people, a normal or a natural person, is going to deal with finances and the economy. That's going to be the main thing. For myself, as well as for most of you that are listening to me this morning, whether on Facebook, in the parking lot, or here, this is the truth. There, around my house, there is no extra money. You know what I'm talking about? It's always got a place to go. I mean, it just, oh, we got some extra cash. No, that don't, well, I won't say all the time. God's good to us. But most of the time, it's where it needs to be. We are living in difficult times. Many people live from paycheck to paycheck. They live from their Social Security. They're living off their pensions. And every dime that comes into their house is precious. And if that's what's most important to you, then you're going to vote for the candidate that will give you less taxes. You're going to vote for the candidate that allows you to keep more of your check when it comes in. However, this, as Christians, this should not be the issue that we decide our vote on. This, really and truly, that should be very low on the scale of influence when we're trying to decide who we're going to vote for. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I do not expect Uncle Sam to meet my needs. And I'm going to tell you something else. Nobody in America should expect for Uncle Sam to meet their needs. The Apostle Paul, on God's authority, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, promised the Philippians, and he promises you and I, that my God will supply all your needs according to what? His riches in glory. He didn't say my government or my president or my Social Security, nothing like that. He said, my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. That's why we don't have to believe what they tell us when they say they ain't going to raise our taxes or they're not going to touch Social Security or anything like that. It doesn't matter because you don't meet my needs. I've got a God in glory that owns a cattle on a thousand hill. And He says if I have a need, praise God, He's going to need it. Meet it. Not need it, meet it. All right? But listen to what Christ Jesus said. Listen to what Christ Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, but seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, everything else, will be added unto you. Previous to saying that, He says, hey, you know what? You don't have to worry about where your clothes are going to come from. You don't have to worry about where your food is going to come from. You don't have to worry about where your shelter is going to come from. You don't have to worry about where your food's going, your water's going to come from. You don't even have to worry about anything. He says, if I look at the birds, they don't plant a garden, yet they eat good. Look at the birds. And if I love them, and I take care of them, how much more you who I've made in my image and breathed my very breath into, my eternal breath, if I take care of them, don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? Live for me, basically. Live for me, and I'll take care of everything else. Just like He did with Adam and Eve. Before He ever put them in a garden, He said, you need water, I'm going to give you water. You need food, I'm going to give you food. You need oxygen, I'm going to have you oxygen. Everything they needed was supplied for them. And today, praise God, as believers, when we go in the ballot box, we need to recognize that we have a provider whose resources are not limited. And though Uncle Sam might run out, he will never run out. You see, the problem is today, half of America are slaves. No, they don't have anyone that they would go to and call master. They don't have anybody that's putting them in chains. But they have become dependent upon Uncle Sam to meet their needs. Uncle Sam provides their house. Uncle Sam provides their food. Uncle Sam provides their clothing. He gives them their phones. He gives them their electricity. He gives them their water. He provides them with health care. And you know what? They can only vote for the one who promises to keep giving that to them because they feel if they vote for another that nobody's going to provide for them. And the politicians know this. And so what do they say? We'll give you more. Vote for us and we'll give you even more on top of that. And they're slaves to the government. They're slaves to Uncle Sam. I know some ain't liking this, but it's the truth. And they'll forever vote for the one that provides, the one they feel meets their needs. But my God said, seek ye first my kingdom. What does He mean? He means this. He's saying, make sure that you're in a right relationship with your Creator through Christ Jesus. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does that? Be in a right relationship. Seek you first the kingdom of God. That's through Christ Jesus and His righteousness. And then live the life that is right in His eyes. And He'll provide all of our needs. So let me ask you this. We sang that song, sister, and I know you didn't know it, but just glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. What about glorify thy name in the voting booth? Huh? Glorify thy name in the voting booth. Tuesday or whenever. When you went in there and You begin to check that ballot. What did it say about your confidence in God providing all your needs? What will it say, folks, on Facebook? When you go in there and vote, is your vote going to say, I trust my God, that whatever I need, He's going to give? Or is it going to say, I'm going to bypass God and I'm going to make sure Uncle Sam knows that I'm dependent on him? I'm going to tell you right now, our government is anti-family. If you're willing not to get married, they'll give you a better tax break. If you're willing to do certain things, you'll get more money. You'll get more benefits. So what does your ballot say? Next thing is this. And I'm going to hear it from some about, and I've heard it before. I know abortion's wrong, but I just can't see myself as a one-issue voter. Hogwash. Hogwash. Do you know, life is precious. Life is a gift. It should be protected from womb to nursing home. And the nursing home's coming. It's coming. I could tell you some of my paranoid thoughts right now, but I'm not. If you won't hear them, come to me afterwards. And then you'll see how crazy I really am. It is God who creates life. And so it should only be God who takes life. Ah, well, what about capital punishment? God gave us instructions on murder. He did. He says if someone takes another one's life, then their life is to be taken. That's what Scripture says, not me. Because see, that's the first thing that comes up is, well, if you don't believe in abortion, then why do you agree with capital punishment? Because the Bible says so. Listen to what the Bible says about the womb. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. Then the word of God came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified, or I set you apart, and I ordained you a prophet to many nations. Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and fruit of the womb is His reward. Even children conceived in sin are a blessing. They're a gift. And here's another one. And most of you know this one because there's a lot of them in Scripture about the sanctity and the value of life. But Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16, listen. For it was you who created my inward parts. Listen how beautiful this is. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days are written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. This passage shows that our God, Jehovah, Yahweh, that He is personally and intimately a part of forming and creating every baby that has ever been conceived. You notice where it says, you knit me in my mother's wombs. I couldn't help but think about some people that I know that do sewing and knitting and all that. I thought about Miss June. It says, if you, Miss June Jesse, and all those quilts, you remember all those quilts? And you remember, it had all those quilts, and they said every time somebody would have a baby or they were getting married, Miss June was going, but you know what? Every stitch, every one, she did with love. She thought, oh man, what a picture. What a picture. That baby, before it's ever known, before it's ever born, our Creator is there with His precious hands, and He pushes each stitch intimately and knowingly He does it. If the eyes are blue, it's because He said they're to be blue. If there's a dimple in the chin, it's because He put the dimple in the chin. You see, life is precious. This passage shows it's intimate. Pastor Mark's, Pastor Mike Stone, he's the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. And he was also formerly the executive director of the National Southern Baptist Convention, which we're a part of as well. And he's a friend of our family. We know him. One of my best friends is his co-pastor right now. But he posted this on Facebook. He said, I am an unapologetic single issue voter when that single issue is the infant Holocaust. And then what he did was he referenced one of the presidential candidates. And in the last debate, that candidate made a statement concerning COVID, and that there's 220,000 empty chairs at the table. And that's sad. But in what Brother Mike posted, it showed a picture of an empty high chair. And out beside it, it said 60 million. That's how many babies have been murdered since 1973. What about those empty chairs? What about those lives? About that. Well, I just don't see myself as a single issue voter. And I thought about it for a little while, and then I just felt the Spirit say, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, left His throne, robed Himself in flesh, was beaten, mocked and killed, and then ultimately rose up from the dead. And He did it because of one issue and one issue only, and that's the salvation of humanity for whosoever will. That's why He left His throne. One issue. One issue. Whoa, that's good. Amen. So, what does your ballot say about your value of life? Many other issues. That's the only ones I'm going to deal with. So many other issues. There's the sanctity of marriage. There's the law, order, and civility in America. Getting rid of the police? Again, remember, all authority is appointed by God, right? And if you reject authority, who are we rejecting? We're rejecting God. It's anarchy. It's the spirit of the Antichrist flooding over our country. The rights that we, the people, have to govern ourselves. Immigration. Jobs. And then don't forget our relationship with the nation of Israel. Numbers 24:9. He crouches, he lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him up? Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. Psalms 122:6. Pray for the peace of Israel. May those who love you prosper. Romans 15. Didn't know it was in the New Testament, did you? Romans 15:27. Yes, they were pleased. Indeed, they are in debt to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual benefits, then they are obligated to minister to the Jews in material needs. Benjamin Netanyahu said this. He said, we have never had as good a relationship with America as we do right now. So, how do we know who to vote for? Before we vote, whether it be for the President of the United States, governor, or dog catcher, if we do these next six things, and I'm going to go through them quick. I know you don't believe it, but I am. Then not only will we vote for the best candidate, but remember it said for conscience sake, we'll have a good conscience and we'll be able to stand before God. Number one. Before we vote, we've got to identify who we are. I know when you go in there and they say Democrat or Republican. I'm not talking about that. You see, those that identify themselves as wealthy, They're going to vote for the one that'll give them tax cuts, right? Those that identify themselves as needy or poor, they're going to vote for the one that gives them more assistance or social programs. Galatians 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says that for him, as well for any true believer, that our life is not our own. In fact, he says that it is Christ who is living within him. And that life we live it by faith. Now I want you to think about this right now. We need to understand that while we may be a welder, that while we may be a husband, that we may be a school teacher, whatever, above all that, we are Christians. We are identified in Christ. Now, if that be true, if we have died with Christ and been risen in His power, and we're not living, but it's Christ who's living through us, guess what? It's not our vote. Right? It's His vote. We don't have the right because we've given our life to Him. And instead of us voting, when we go in that voting booth, if we identify ourselves in Christ, then we're going to be as if we're voting for Christ right then. I know y'all ain't amening me out there neither. But it's not our vote. We've given our life to Him. And He's given His life to us. That's why we're right with the Lord now. That's why we're right with God. We got to identify ourselves. The next thing is we got to pray. We got to pray. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what the word everything means? Everything. No, it means all that exists. Every issue. And I take this literally. Do you know I've prayed for sick dogs? I've prayed for broken cars. I've prayed for appliances that hadn't been working. All the way up for people to be physically healed and continue to pray for that. And I continue to pray for the souls of the lost to be saved. And I do believe what that sign said, that this vote is for the soul of our nation. So when we pray, what do we pray? We pray, Lord, number one, as America, please be merciful. We need to pray, please be merciful. Please forgive us. God, please let your Spirit move across our country. And God, please give me wisdom on which candidate I need to vote for. We identify ourselves. We identify who we are. And then we pray. And guess what? Number three is we pray again. But we pray for the candidates. Just as we've seen, the Bible commands us to pray in all things. We've seen it in verse Timothy. But even that candidate, even if and when the candidate that doesn't represent your convictions or your flat platform, we still need to pray for them. How many of you have ever noticed the color of the president's hair when he goes in? And I mean, I've seen it in Obama. I saw it in Bush. Saw it in Clinton. I can only imagine that Trump's had to grow his hair about 3 more inches just to cover it up when he had to flip it over on the side there, you know. But can you imagine the stress and the pressure, not mentioning the physical, mental, and spiritual strain that is on these individuals? We need to identify who we are before we go in the booth. We need to pray. We need to pray for the candidates. Number four is this. We need to know what they stand for. I'm going to confess something to you right now, but you're probably in the same boat with me. I voted for people that I didn't even know anything about because they were on the ballot for Democrat or for Republican. You know what that is? To do that is irresponsible and unwise. We need to know about the candidates. Before we vote, we need to identify ourselves. We need to pray. We need to pray for the candidates. We need to know the candidates. And when we vote, we are to vote for a Christian or Christian principles. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Psalms 33, verses 11 and 12. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who He has chosen to be His possession. I know that politicians say that they know Jesus Christ and that they have a relationship with Him, but I also know that politicians have a habit of lying. And we really don't know about anybody, whether. But just as there are good and moral people that are lost around us, there are politicians who are good and moral and stand on Christian principles, though they may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They just have been brought up what is right and what is wrong. And if we cannot vote for a Christian, then we're to vote for the one that most represents Christianity and what the Bible stands for. Now some, listen. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for good, for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. Do you know when you go in there and you vote for the Christian or you vote for Christian principles, you're voting for the betterment of every individual in this country? Some are saying, no, you won't. The most important thing for every person in this country is that they come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And praise God, if and when we can get a true man of God in there, it could change our country. Romans, listen what Romans 13:3. I've told you we'd come back there. Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. Now, what he's talking about there is follow the law, and the government will say you've done a good job. But if we vote for the good, we're doing a benefit for a whole nation. If we vote for Christian ethics, moral things, then we're seeking to bless our country. And then the last thing is this. We're to identify ourselves. We're to pray. We're to pray for the candidates. We're to know the candidates. We should vote for the Christian or those that uphold Christian values. And the last thing we're to do is we're to keep the faith. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 10. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God and there is none other. I am God and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from long ago what is not yet done. My plan will take place, and I will do all my will. Listen to this, and I want you to hold on to this, all right? No matter what happens on Tuesday, whether it be Trump or Biden, it's not going to take God by surprise. And not only that, it's not going to stop His plan. Matter of fact, it's all going to be a part of His plan. And ultimately, it's going to be for His glory and for every believer's good. And no matter who's in office, Psalms 21:1, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord like streams of water in His hands. He directs it wherever He chooses. And like it was with Pharaoh and all the other great evil leaders or good leaders, they will do nothing unless God allows it. Amen? Listen, in closing, we are living in some strange, confusing, and dangerous times. You may not like what I'm going to say, but our leaders lie to us. They use us, and they try to confuse us. They're passing laws that are directly against God and His Word. So what do we do when the laws of man contradicts the truth of God? We do as Peter and John did when they were arrested for the second time. When they stood before the Sanhedrin and the high priest, They didn't know whether they would be beaten, imprisoned, or killed. The Sanhedrin looked at them and said, "We've already locked you up one time and told you not to preach or teach in Jesus' name. What do you think you're doing?" And then in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "But Peter and the apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than man.'" We're coming to that point, if we're not already. I want to leave you with some quotes from some of our great Americans. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other." We see it in America right now. John Quincy Adams says, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was that it connected the principles of Christianity with the principles of government." Isn't that beautiful? Patrick Henry said, "It is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains." I think I can hear the jingling of chains right now. William Penn said, "Those people who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants." Daniel Webster said, "If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury our glory in profound obscurity." And then this wasn't an American. His name was Edmund Burke. He was an Irish statesman who died in 1794. He said, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." Got to bring it back to the cross, right? Brother, you said it last Sunday, and that's the truth we stand on here at Thomasville. So how bring this sermon? When I go into that booth, I'm representing Jesus. I'm representing His work on the cross. I'm representing all of who He is. When I go in there, I don't cast my vote. I cast His vote, because it's not I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. Look there in verse 7. It says, "Render therefore to all their dues." Romans 13:7. Christian Standard says this: "Pay your obligations to everyone." Paul is specifically talking about paying taxes and tributes. However, as Americans, we have an obligation and a duty, one to those who fought and died for this country, to vote. Two, we have an obligation and a duty to vote because of those that are coming behind us, and we want to leave them something of value and worth. And number three, it's our duty and our obligation because God has blessed us to be Americans. He has given us this privilege and this right, and we should vote. Again, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but I'm telling you, get out and vote. But when you push that screen, remember, you'll answer to God for that push. But if you don't remember anything else about today's message, remember these three things. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, nobody will do more for you than Jesus will do for you. Sister, if you would, we're going to do one verse this morning. Will you help her, Sister Donna? I know today hadn't been a salvation type message, but God can do whatever He wants to do with His Word. And today, maybe you want to come, and maybe you want to become a Christian. I'd love to show you what the Word says. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you want to join Thomas Village. But I'm going to ask you to do this as a believer. And if you don't feel, I'm going to encourage you to come to the altar right now. But if you don't feel comfortable coming to the altar, do it where it is. But I want you to pray for America. I want you to pray for November the 3rd, 2020. I read something the other day that 63% of the amount that voted in 2016 have already voted. I believe that this is the most important election of my lifetime, and it could be that in the life of our country. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to come. Sister Nancy's going to pray at least one verse, and when she's done, we're going to have prayer together for our country, all right? But won't you come right now? And we've got extra altar room if you don't feel like being around people. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come to you, and I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, to be an American. Heavenly Father, Lord, there are issues, there are things I don't like in our country. Some of the things that's going on I don't agree with, but God, I still believe that America is the greatest and most blessed country that's ever been. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I do believe, no matter what I'm told, that it has been founded and grounded upon Judeo-Christian ethics. I know that not all of our founding fathers were Christians or that they were believers, but Lord, the moral code is the one that you laid out. And God, our country's in trouble. Lord, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much longer we can hold on and be a country. Unless you do something. We're in debt. We're in conflict. We're divided. And sometimes it seems that our politicians just do things purposely to do that. And Lord, we recognize and we understand that you have a plan. We understand, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as you said, it must be. Hard times, tribulations must come. But Heavenly Father, Lord, today with my brothers and sisters, I come to you and I say, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. We don't deserve your mercy in all you're giving us right now. Lord, this isn't judgment. This is what we've asked for. We've asked for you to be pushed out of our schools. We've asked you to be pushed out of our courthouses. We've asked you to be pushed out of our White House. We've even asked you out of our own churches. Have mercy and forgive me. God, don't give us what we deserve. Give us what we need. And God, I confess today that I need you. In our country, we need you. Lord, I pray that you'll open up the eyes of the blind. And I pray that you'll send a great revival across our country. I pray right now for Joe Biden. I pray for Donald Trump. I pray for Pence. I pray for Harris. You said to, and I am. And Lord, I pray today. I pray today, God, that you'll put the person in there that will honor you, that will honor your word. And Lord, I do pray that God bless America. But Lord, I don't think America's in a place where God can bless. And so Lord, I pray you give us that one that'll bring us to that place where God, not only can you bless us, but Lord, you'll be proud of us. Lord, save the lost. Be with our people here. Lord, there's many that are hurting and broken today. And Lord, I say thank you for being a good God. And in Jesus' name I ask, God bless America Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. 6 o'clock tonight.